This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. In this hour, we look at the massive hunger strike by more than 30,000 prisoners throughout the prison system in California in protest of conditions there. Plus, later this hour, we'll talk with one active duty Army major who's a Sikh and his fight to change uniform standards to allow him and other Sikhs to serve in the military wearing a turban. And of course, appearance can mean everything when it comes to identity. We're asking you this hour if you've ever been part of a team or a unit or a group that required a uniform.
Hi, my name's Sean. I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. I wore a uniform while in the military and loved it. I felt a strong sense of self-worth and part of something bigger than myself.
Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. But first, to the companies behind the clothes we wear. More than a dozen American retailers, including Walmart, Target, The Gap, Macy's, and Kohl's, have signed on to a five-year plan promising to conduct safety inspections within a year of working conditions at the estimated 500 factories used by American companies in Bangladesh. The plan immediately drew criticism from labor groups who said it was voluntary and not aggressive enough and not legally binding. The companies under this effort, which is called the Alliance for Bangladesh Worker Safety, will set up basic safety standards within 3 months and make the results of their inspections transparent. Now, this comes more than 2 months after more than 1,100 workers died in the Rana Plaza building collapse outside of Dhaka in Bangladesh. It's the largest loss of life and greatest disaster in the history of the garment industry. This response by the American retailers follows a far more aggressive initiative by more than 70 retailers in the European Union. Now, that one calls for inspections in the next 9 months and ensures funding for the safety improvements. In other words, it's not voluntary, it's binding. Well, here in the U.S., Senator Bob Menendez, who is chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has been calling for better labor conditions and improved safety for workers in Bangladesh. He's a Democrat from New Jersey and was a leading force behind the decision by the Obama administration back in June to cut off trade benefits with Bangladesh in an effort to pressure that country into better standards following the factory collapse. And while he's pleased with the proposal by the Alliance for Bangladesh Worker Safety, he says still more needs to be done.
Well, look, American and European companies are moving in the right direction towards creating a safer work environment for Bangladeshi workers. But I think more has to be done. I think the days of business as usual for manufacturers operating in Bangladesh are over. And I think they have to collaborate. North American as well as European retailers have to collaborate further to avoid imposing multiple standards for Bangladeshi factories and workers. And I think that the Bangladeshi government has to inspect garment factories, that to punish individuals who are negligent. And it has to bring factory owners who committed wrongdoing to justice. And most importantly, I think the government has to support freedom of association and create a culture that is actually supportive of workers' rights. So I think this is moving in the right direction. I'm happy to see American companies beginning to meet what I think is a global responsibility. But I want to see as much transparency as possible and as much worker participation as possible in order to ensure that the safety of workers is preserved and that we don't have more tragedies like Rana Plaza and that, in fact, we don't wear clothing made on the blood of workers.
Can we get a little more specific on why this voluntary effort from big giants like Target and Walmart, who make clothes there and help us all pay low, low prices, why it doesn't go far enough? What more needs to be done aside from these voluntary standards?
Well, in the U.S. initiative as we understand it, the arbitration measures are weaker than the European ones. And the European ones also have a little more transparency at the start and also have wider participation in its steering committee and advisory boards. And that's something that I think is important. Labor organizations played a role in establishing the European proposal, but it did not in negotiating the American proposal. So while I appreciate that the American initiative is moving in the right direction, I'd like to see it be as strong as the European standard at the end of the day.
You mentioned the Bangladeshi government. You are chairman, of course, of the Foreign Relations Committee. What room is there for direct pressure on the government of Bangladesh from the United States to get tougher on an industry that, granted, is so very critical to its own economy?
Well, it's very important. And when I held a hearing in the committee, in the full committee on this issue, we had the ambassador to the United States from Bangladesh there, as well as other Bangladeshi officials. And I think my advocacy of having our government suspend the general system of benefits, which is basically the trade benefits that Bangladesh gets, I think it's a clear message to the Bangladeshi government that it's long overdue for Bangladesh to reform its labor practices to ensure workers' rights. This is an important trading partner. But we cannot, and I think should not, look the other way while workers are subjected to unsafe conditions and environments. And I think that American companies operating in Bangladesh have to reform, as we've said, their business practices. We want Bangladesh to thrive, but not on the life of Bangladeshi workers. And it goes beyond Bangladesh, actually. This is the tragedies that have riveted the attention. But what we seek here is a global standard. So we don't just see a migration from Bangladesh to some other country at the end of the day having inferior standards. And when we have retailers living up to global standards, then we send a global message that you just cannot exploit workers in such a way that their lives are at risk in order to produce a profit.
Senator, your own mother was a seamstress, as I understand it. Is that correct?
She was. She worked in the factories of New Jersey. I visited her at times in those factories, and they weren't in great condition, but they certainly weren't like those that the Bangladeshi government has allowed to exist. Luckily, it never cost her her life, but I remember the conditions under she worked in, and she gave a hard day's work for an honest day's pay. And anywhere in the world, the standard should be that that hard day of work shouldn't end up in the potential of losing your life.
Senator Robert Menendez is Democrat from New Jersey and chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator, thank you so much.
Great to be with you.
We also want to note that we reached out to the major retailers involved in the Alliance for Bangladesh Worker Safety. That includes Walmart, Target, Gap, JCPenney, Macy's, Kohl's. All of them declined to comment at this time. Still, the garment industry provides an estimated $20 billion a year to the economy of Bangladesh. 4 million people work in that industry, while a third of the country lives in poverty. So there are calls for caution from some who say revoking Bangladesh's most favored trade status and layering on new restrictions risks doing more harm to the country and its factory workers than good. Joining me now is Safina Rahman, the director of Lakshma Sweaters, an apparel production factory in the Bangladesh capital of Dhaka. Safina has more than 3,000 employees in her factory, and on average, they make 25 cents an hour. Safina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Todd.
So the aftermath of the Rana Plaza building collapse in Bangladesh, a major tragedy and still on the forefront of everyone's minds, what are the workers saying to you about the new safety regulations? Is it something they want, or are they worried that it could affect their jobs?
You know, this is a very pertinent thing that we get to hear every time, wherever we go. And Rana Plaza incident is a disaster. It's like we are very sad, sorry, and we are more cautious than ever. But you have to understand that when 30 years back, when this garment race started in Bangladesh, it was never meant to be like this. But things have changed over the years. And you have to understand this is 160 million people living in one country in 54,000 square miles, you see. So it's an overpopulated country. It's not possible that overnight you change the whole stuff.
Now, many of the suppliers that you supply, I want to ask you, by the way, what companies do you supply with your sweaters and scarves? Companies we've heard of?
Yes, most of my bigger customers are in Europe. I work for Quiksilver, for Primark, for EWM, mostly to Germany and the UK and some in France.
What would it mean to you if companies like Walmart, Target, but also the European companies who have signed on to a slightly different set of standards, start to insist on more frequent safety inspections, new standards at factories, and in some cases won't do business at certain factories that don't comply? Does that have a downside for you?
Oh, yes. Like European Union has selected 2,000 factories. They're making a short list. And almost 70 big chains like Walmart, JCPenney, Tesco, and Gap, you know, they are thinking that, you know, that Bangladesh should be more given emphasis on the safety issues, the labor rights, the factory security and all. And we understand that. But, you know, to be very honest, Todd, in China, the worker gets $2 per hour. The Bangladesh is getting 0.25, only 25 cents per hour. Our labor cost is less. That is why we are getting the order. But what is happening now, the whole scenario has given, the media has given so much of a negative impact. I'm sorry about whatever has happened. I'm not supporting the incident in Rana Plaza, disaster in the, you know, the whole building got collapsed. But in America also, sometime, you know, a building may collapse. But, you know, the third world country always gets this media hype. It's difficult for us to fight back such a big country like US or, you know, fighting with the European Union. And it's becoming very challenging for us. And the saddest part is there's no unified code of conduct. Each customer has their own way of compliances. It's difficult for us, you know, to cope with these compliances issues.
Well, we have had issues in the past in this country as well of labor disasters that are not dissimilar to the Rana Plaza disaster. And it makes me want to ask you, can't companies like Walmart or Target or your customers in Europe, why isn't it possible to have better safety without prices going up? In other words, why isn't it possible, in your view, to, even if it's mandated, have some better safety without affecting the livelihoods and the jobs of too many workers? Many people would argue better safety, more healthy industry, more confident customers, better for everyone.
Absolutely. And it's not something that one shouldn't follow that. One shouldn't respect it. But Rana Plaza thing is you know, one in 100 things. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen every day. This is something taught that we are under a lot of pressure. And, you know, this is my factory. It's like my own family. I'm spending 8 to 10 hours a day there. My life is at risk, too. So it's not that something that we shouldn't do. We must do this for our own security and safety. But sometimes, you know, the customers, they impose on us, which becomes difficult.
Safina Rahman is director and owner of Lakshma Sweaters in Dhaka, Bangladesh. Safina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Nice talking to you.
Come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.